Welcome to the Aligned Mama Podcast. I'm Liz DeFinis, a mama to three incredible kids, wife, and an alignment coach. I have taken my background in occupational therapy and psychology and transformed it into a self-help platform just for you. Please join me for quick tips on integrating techniques into your life to create more space for peace and tranquility. Because, after all, finding and embracing joy is what life is all about. I look forward to serving you, and thanks for tuning in.
Hey there, Aligned Mama. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Aligned Mama Podcast. And today we're going to be talking about purple people pleasers. And because I know that I see you out there trying to be all of the things to all of the people in all of the ways. And, you know, here's the truth. In so many ways, this is intended to be a good thing, right? You are intending for, you know, you have good intentions, right? But how does this really produce the results that you want? When you're trying to be a people pleaser in your own home, between like your son and your spouse and your daughter and your spouse and your friends and your, you know, between your friends, between one friend and friend A and friend B, between your parents and your spouse, you know, think about all of the people in your life. When you're trying to people please in all of the ways, what happens? Right? Nothing. Nothing happens except you are in a constant state of needing to keep control around you. Because when we're in people-pleasing tendencies, what we're doing is we're trying to just be everything to everybody, to be happy and create happiness for everybody. But the truth is, you can't control how anybody else feels. And we all, like, if you are somebody who is a people pleaser or you have been in the past, understand that this is a skill set that continues to be rewritten on a regular basis. Okay. This is something that you get to learn how to rewrite, because I got to tell you, like, it is not just an innate thing to be able to do this. Okay. When you have that story inside of you of like, if I just please everybody, it'll just, you know, it'll make all of this better. It'll make it all easier. You know, the thing is, it's not really true, but it can seem true in some instances for very short periods of time. It can kind of seem and feel like, well, if I just do everything for everybody else, I'll keep the peace, right? And so I'm going to tell you a little story of, you know, how this all started for me, you know, and how I was really in that space of people pleasing way back when, right? Because a lot of times this really starts as kids, right? And so I have this definite thing inside of me where, like, I am terrified of getting in trouble, right? Going to the principal's office, like, my worst day ever. And I kind of thought everybody was like this, but I've learned that they're definitely not. There are definitely kids and adults out there who just don't have those same fears, right? They're just not afraid of those same things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, like, that's amazing. But, like, I'm not one of those people, okay? So I definitely want to please all of the people. I want to be in control, quote unquote, in control as much as possible, so that I can ensure that everybody around me is happy. And then there will be no conflict. Everybody will be great. The world will be wonderful, and there's no worries at all. That's not really how that works, right? Because things happen in life, right? Sometimes we're not on our A game. Sometimes we're not able to keep up with the demands of all of the things, mm-hmm. right? And so it's understanding that in that space, there's a certain level of ability to allow yourself the grace to not be perfect, right? To allow yourself to just be in the moment and to be who you are and how you are and the way and understand why you are the way that you are and accept yourself for who you are. Now, we can always change these things, but perfection is never the goal. As an aligned parent, you're never looking to be perfect. You're always looking to improve, to change, to bring awareness to how it's been and awareness to how you want it to be. Understand that there's a gap between them and then choose differently in your parenting styles. Again and again and again until you get to where you want to go, right? There is no, like, secret sauce that's going to, like, have you doing all the things. But when I'm looking at this concept of people pleasing, what I notice, what I'm seeing in this is that, you know, you're always going to set yourself up for failure because your level of success in this is dependent on how other people are feeling. And I got to tell you,
people are not going to feel things in a rational way. Okay. Like, that's not how this works. And so when we're trying to please the people around us and other, we can't control how they're feeling, how can you actually please them? And so what happens is there's this chronic state of being guilty. You chronically feel guilty because you're not good enough. You're not doing a good enough job because they're not happy. And if they're not happy, you clearly are not doing a good enough job. Now, is that true? I mean, no, it's not really true, but it does feel like it's true, right? And so our feelings are valid. Our feelings are very valid, and you deserve to feel your feelings in this. And so if you feel guilty because somebody is not happy and you're taking that upon yourself to create soul happiness for all of the people, pleasing all of the people, and somebody doesn't seem happy, you are going to take that on to you and really start to feel the pressure of not being enough. And, you know, here's the thing. It's not that it's the end of the world if it's not enough. But it is when you feel like it all has to be perfect, right? It does feel that way. And so when I was, you know, in high school, you know, I was, you know, living in a house where we, you know, my dad was a heavy drinker and, you know, my mom was kind of navigating a lot of those things. And there was just, there's a lot of like turmoil, right? It was fairly high stress, right? And I mean, we had things like money and stuff like that, you know, that wasn't necessarily like the stressor. I felt like we were, you know, I never felt like there was any kind of like concern in that way, which I guess is good, right? That's good. But like outside of that, there wasn't a whole lot of other safety, right? And so it's interesting because when I think about safety now, a lot of times I really do have my safety tethered a little bit to like money and how much money and am I safe to spend? Am I safe to grow? Am I safe, you know, for these different things? And I do feel that way. But it's also knowing that like that is not a complete contingency either of like the safety piece because, you know, I think back to then and I had the money and I didn't feel safe in other ways, you know, and so it really roots into a lot. And we always think that things are about money, but they're not usually about it, right? There's usually some other story in there. So when I was in high school, I definitely, you know, things were kind of escalating. My dad's drinking and my mom was like kind of just fed up with it. And so she's kind of washing her hands of the situation with him and like just frustrated and was like tired of doing things like, you know, making dinner and like doing the stuff that she normally did because he wasn't doing any of the things he said he was going to do. And so I kind of felt like everyone around me was in that space of like not doing what they said they would do because I mean, a lot of ways, spite, right? And, you know, emotions run high. And so people react just like I talk about with aligned motherhood, right? It's not going to be perfect. And sometimes we do things a little bit out of alignment of how we would want them to be, but we're not perfect people, right? So we get to make mistakes and we get to see them and we get to improve. And so I can acknowledge all of that in this story, but I can also share my feelings and my reflection on like what this experience was like for me as a child, because it wasn't a great feeling. You know, so my dad definitely, you know, drinking all the time and like, you know, in that space, and my mom just kind of like being done with it, washing hands, be like, okay, like I've had enough, right? And I could feel the tension rising and rising and rising and rising and rising in the house, right? And so being a people pleaser, because I'm a purple people pleaser too, I wanted to just keep the peace in the house, right? So I just would do all of the things. I was picking up the slack. I was doing the extra laundry. I was cooking, cleaning, doing the dishes. Like I was trying to just keep everything going, right? But I was in high school. So I was also like going to school and I was in field hockey and like I had lots of other things going on. I had lots of extracurricular things. And I was just trying to be the person that held everything together, you know? And there's actually like there's a lot of literature out there on, you know, alcohol families of alcoholics and like what type of child you are in there, right? And so, you know, there's a couple different, you know, different things for that. But one of the children types, right? Because there's a couple different types. There's like the scapegoat, there's the hero. And in that, you know, I was like the hero. I was the one that was coming in and trying to like fix everything, fix everybody. And, you know, it doesn't actually work, right? It doesn't actually work. And so when we're looking at, you know, the four different types, there's the enabler. And I mean, to some degree, I definitely fall into the enabler side of things. There's the hero and the scapegoat. I'm sorry, there's five. And there's the lost child and the mascot. And so there's you know, and this isn't an exact science, but generally children of alcoholics fall into one of these five categories. And so, you know, I was trying to just make everybody happy. I was trying to like keep the peace. But really what's happening when I do that, I'm trying to be the hero in the situation, but it's creating a sense of enablement, right? So I was really enabling in that because I was creating a lot of lines of codependency. So if I did all the things that my mom said she was going to do and I kept things going, then my dad wouldn't get mad and flip out when he came home, right? So then that wouldn't happen. And so then my mom wouldn't be mad and then he wouldn't be drinking as much, or he would drink, but nobody would fight, right? And like that was my goal, was nobody fight. Everybody just be calm, be peaceful, be quiet, right? That's what I really wanted, was just peace. I wanted it to be quiet. I wanted to not have the tension rising in the room all the time. I wanted the tension to come down a notch. I wanted it to release. I wanted it to be at ease, right? And so that's what I was aiming for. But here's the problem with that, with my, you know, 17-year-old self trying to figure out the world. The problem with this was I was going to college, right? So as spring came and I graduated high school, you know, as much as I felt the feeling of like wanting to go to college and get out, like I really wanted to go to college and be on my own, like I wanted that more than anything, I also felt a tremendous amount of guilt about my sister and my mom. You know, and the situation that was escalating in the house. And I knew that I was doing so much to kind of hold the pieces together. I was really afraid of like, when I'm plucked out of this equation, what is going to happen in this household, you know? And I got to tell you, it wasn't good. You know, it wasn't good. And, you know, I left, I went to college, I wrote my dad a letter on his computer so that he would get it when he got home after he took me to college. So we all got in the car, we went to college, I moved in, right? My dad gets home, he reads the letter, whatever. And in the letter I wrote him, I begged him to stop drinking. I told him, I said, you know, you need to look around, you need to see what you're doing. Like, this is what I've been doing to try to keep the house together. I've been trying to keep things afloat. But I'm leaving and I'm not going to be able to continue to keep things going. And I'm afraid of what's going to happen. And I begged him in this letter to be the person that would stop, you know, to be the person that would open his eyes and look around and recognize what was going on. And that's not what happened. You know, he ended up going to rehab about a week later. I was at college for 1 week. My mom kicked him out. Lots of stuff happened. I wasn't there, so I don't remember all of it. I've blocked a lot of that out, and I wasn't actually there to know it firsthand. And all I know is he ended up in rehab for the first time. First time of many times that would come. And there was a lot of guilt. You know, my sister saw a lot of things in those years to follow that I wanted to protect her from. You know, I wanted her to not have to see the things. I wanted her to not have to deal with the things. And that's not what happened. You know, and I felt so guilty for so long because the thing was, I was trying to protect everybody. I was trying to keep everybody happy. I was trying to please all of the people around me. But what I really did was just made it hurt more because everybody, I feel like, ended up blindsided. You know, I feel like I shielded a lot of this. I shielded my sister from a good portion of it. But when I left, I did leave. You know, I left and I gotta be honest, I didn't go back. You know, I didn't go back. I went back one more summer and I didn't move back in again after that. You know, I got my own places and I stayed on my own. I found, you know, savvy ways to stay on the college campus all summer long, got extra jobs. You know, I did things. And part of that was just because I was a driven person and I wanted to. And the other part was that I could feel and sense my happiness in different ways when I allowed myself to be in those spaces, right? And I wanted to be able to continue to maintain that feeling inside of me. And so at some point, I started to shift from the people pleasing in that way to pleasing myself and knowing that, like, I deserve to have this. You know, I worked hard for this and I deserve to be at college and I wanted to be on my own. And I was, you know, fiercely independent and it was a good thing and I wanted that. But I did leave a lot behind. And, you know, when I look back on it now, I feel terrible about that. You know, I feel terrible about the way that that happened and the way that things went down. And I thought I had it all in control. But, you know, I found out that first year in college, I just didn't, you know, it kind of all, yeah, shit hit the fan at home. But like it did for me, too, because I suddenly realized that I really didn't know who I was. I really didn't know what I was doing and why I was doing it and how I could do it better and what would happen. I just was pretty lost. And so I did a lot of drinking and a lot of partying and a lot of hanging out with the wrong people, quite honestly. A lot of risk taking. And, you know, there were definitely instances where it didn't turn out as good as it could have. But collectively, it came together and was okay. But really only because I was willing to become the person that eventually realized I needed to change people, places, and things, right? And so that was a tough year for me. It was a tough year of growth, of change, of realizing that all of the years of people-pleasing that I had put effort into fell apart in a matter of minutes. And it was me trying to control everything that really led to everything falling apart. And so a lot of times we think that we're being people-pleasers and that's a good thing. We like pride ourselves on it in some ways. But what if you recover from that? And even when you do recover, can you identify areas in your life where you might still be doing it? Because this is one that definitely comes up for me. And I see this in my own household, you know, in my own house, in, you know, wanting to, you know, have my husband be happy, having Dan be happy, right? But like, I also want to keep my kids happy. And if, you know, Dan and the kids are not seeing eye to eye, I'm like, how can I make everybody happy here, right? How can I give the kids what they want, but also, you know, not go against what Dan is saying because I don't want to undermine his authority there, right? And I just feel a little bit like torn in two different directions. And it's like, it's still uncomfortable for me because the bottom line is that this is something inherently that I've been doing forever, forever. And one of my big core distressing emotions is guilt. And so I feel incredibly guilty if everyone around me isn't experiencing their highest and best life. I take it upon myself to ensure that they are. And it's not really my burden to carry that, right? Because I don't actually control how anybody else is thinking or feeling. They control that. And so by being the type of person that has the emotional intelligence to really know how my emotions are and I let my emotions flow and those triggers or activations that I have in my life, I'm allowing them to flow through me and I breathe in and breathe out and I let them move and I move my body and I shake my body and I allow those things to be transformed and shifted into new feelings that I'm choosing to shift them to. When I do this, that is when I allow myself to be the highest and best kind of mom to show up for my kids so that I can sit down with, you know, Jake and talk to him about his emotions, talk to him about how he's feeling and what that really means to him and where it's coming from and what created that feeling, right? For his feelings to not be dependent on the actions of others around him either, right? To do the same thing with Wyatt. And Liza's 4, so she's kind of getting there with emotional intelligence. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. I get her to talk about emotions. I get her to speak about it. I get her to let her emotions be expressed, which, I mean, in a 4-year-old is pretty much going to happen naturally, right? And I get to make it so that her emotions don't mean anything about me as a mom. And the same with my boys. Their emotions do not mean anything about me as a mom. Because when I do that, when I'm a people pleaser who is insisting on making them happy, what's actually happening in that scenario, when you flip it over and you look at it from the other side, is they know that my happiness is dependent on their happiness. And so now they've got to try to pretend to be happy all the time because they know that that's making me happy when I see them happy. Okay. Do you see that this is a problem? This is exactly what perpetuates the cycle. So if you don't want your kids to be people pleasers, if you want to free them of this never-ending story and cycle of generational people pleasing again and again and again and again, and the guilt and the shame that comes with it, if you want to free your kids from that concept and let them have a life of freedom, a life of not being afraid of everybody's emotions and being okay with the fact that things just aren't perfect sometimes, and that's all right. If you want your kids to feel that, and it starts with you, you get to feed that purple people pleaser inside of you, something else. And you get to please yourself. You get to look at how you want to think and feel, and you get to make choices that align with that. And when you do, that will unlock a whole new world for your children. Because imagine a world where you never felt the burden and the need to people please for others. Imagine a world where you were just free to be yourself whenever and however and wherever you wanted. Imagine that world. It's pretty incredible, huh? When we allow ourselves that space, that grace, it allows our kids to see the imperfections inside of us as parents. And that is one of the number one best gifts that you can ever give to your children, is to show them your imperfections. Because here's the thing. When they grow up thinking that you're perfect all the time, guess what happens? They think you are. And then when they grow up and they're not perfect and life is confusing and overwhelming and they have all these emotions when they're teenagers and they don't know what to do with them, but they look at you and you just look perfect, it makes them feel like there's something wrong with them. So be real with your kids. Tell them the truth. Be honest. Work through some of the people-pleasing tendencies and express your emotions. Be in that space of sharing emotional intelligence with your kids, because when you do, they will feel free to do the same. And that is the best thing you could ever do for your kids, is let them feel like it is totally normal and safe to allow their emotions to freely flow and to feel like they're not alone in the fact that they have them. They're not aliens for having all these strong feelings. It is totally normal. Get your purple people-pleasing tendencies in check. And know that you are completely transforming generational transformations in that process. Because when you stop trying to people please, your kids will stop seeing you do it. And then they won't feel the need to do it either. They'll get to feel fulfilled. They'll get to make choices that make other people happy simply because they want to do that, not because they need to do it. That's the difference. When we can shift our people-pleasing, it doesn't mean that we don't want to do for others. It doesn't mean that we don't want to make other people happy. The difference is that we don't have to do it. We don't need it. We don't need it to create safety in our life. We don't have to control all the things for our own safety. And that is transformative. That creates a whole new world. Because isn't it mean a lot more to everyone around you when you do things out of desire, not out of fear or guilt? Well, I mean, I do desire to help them. I do desire to spend time with this person. But if you're doing it out of knowing that they're going to be hurt if you don't, that's people-pleasing. When you're doing this from a place of avoidance patterns because you don't want to have difficult conversations, uncomfortable conversations, and so it's just easier to do the things, that's people-pleasing. Holiday seasons are a great time for this, right? Do you go and do the things that you want to do for the holidays, or do you do the things because you're afraid of rocking the boat and you don't want to have an uncomfortable conversation or interaction around new decisions that you make for the holidays? That's people-pleasing. Are you afraid to do something different than it's always been done because somebody might say something or think something about you? That's people-pleasing. It's not your job to not hurt anybody else's feelings. It's their job to have the emotional intelligence to understand their feelings and to work through them, to shift through them. It is your job to simply be you. You can be a kind person without being somebody that bends the whims of others. People pleasing to the point of, you know, really not giving yourself what you need and want most in life. You get to choose differently. And when you do, you will model for your kids that they can do the same. And you'll feel pride in knowing that not only can they, but that they actually do. So let's go ahead. Feed your purple people pleaser inside something new, something different than the emotions of other people, and give yourself the freedom to just be you today, tomorrow, and every single day moving forward, making decisions that align with how you want to feel and who you want to be and how you desire to show up. All right, Align Mama, thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Align Mama podcast. I will see you next time.
You have been listening to the Aligned Mama podcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more tips on aligning your life for optimized balance, go to lizdefinis.com. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and I will chat with you again real soon.